I don't know if you're aware, but we have different speakers on Sunday mornings. So different men have volunteered to teach on a favorite character that they might have in the Bible. I had chose John because I find John is to be one of my favorite characters. I also thought about Joshua because Joshua is also one of my favorite characters. But I went with John. I think John writes a gospel that's for all of us. It's a universal style gospel. It's not particular. It's a faith building gospel. When you read John, you see that not only was John a beloved disciple or apostle of Jesus, but there's a reason that you're beloved. Somebody calls you beloved. There's a special bond there, I think. We all have friends, but we always have a special friend, it seems. And I think Jesus called John a special friend, a beloved friend. And I think John will lead us into a lot of faith building things that we can believe stronger, because John expels to us who Jesus is, who God is, and I think builds our faith. So John, who is John? John is an apostle. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. And we read about John the Baptist in the book of John, like the second chapter of John. John the Baptist was a forerunner. So John the Apostle, who I will call him, who is his father is Zebedee, so they call him John. John had a brother named James. Their father was Zebedee. Their mother was Salome. There's another character in the Bible, also by the name of Salome. It's not really even recognized. Through my studying, I kind of picked up on it. I wasn't aware of it. But if you remember, John the Baptist was beheaded, correct, at the end of his life by Herod. Herodias was Herod's adulterous wife. Her daughter was Salome. So it was Salome that did the dancing for Herod. And it was her, Salome, that actually asked on behalf of her mother, the head of John the Baptist, which did in fact take place. James also was an apostle. So you have James and John, both apostles. John also was really the only apostle that died a natural death. And that's very interesting because when you study the apostles, you'll find that they all died really in martyrdom. Some hung upside down, beheaded, crucified, things like that. The apostles went through a lot in the witnessing of Jesus Christ. But John, on the other side, died just a natural death. I find that very interesting because he's the only one. Let's see if I get this to work here. I'm sorry, I should have kind of seen if that worked. Let's give it a second here. There we go. All right, so, and mind you, I teach the junior and senior high a lot, so I'm used to kids, to teens, and I want you to know, just as a side note, you ought to be very proud of our young people. They are great people, great Bible knowledge. I really, really enjoy teaching them. And it is a bit different teaching them than it is here, because they're sometimes a little, you know, unruly sometimes, sometimes talkative, sometimes all kinds of different things. So it's just a little bit different. So, we know that John penned five books, Well, he's giving credit, really, for penning five books. The Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the Book of Revelations. I think I went... Let me get the hang of this thing here. Use the other one? Okay, let's try that. There we go. Let's go on the wrong arrow. So we find that John penned five different books. He's given credit for penning five different books. 92% of the book of John is not found in the other accounts, such as Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So a lot of the book of John has its own thing, not brought over from book to book to book. John kind of writes a different gospel, one that's universal, one that's really to us, Christians, and to churches. We find that the last 10 chapters in the book of John focuses on Jesus' last week. Two-thirds of the book of John focuses on the last 6 months of Jesus' life, and a third of the book looks at his last day. It gives it the most 20 days of Jesus' ministry, whereas in the other books, you see the ministry of Jesus portrayed. John notes that there's 27 personal conversations with Jesus. You might think of some of those conversations, Nicodemus and the Sanhedrin and Lazarus and his mother, and all kinds of personal conversations. So you really get the character, the deep character of John. John primarily emphasizes the fatherhood of God and the sonship of Jesus. Because in that book, that's where it's really spelled out, where Jesus, even though he is God, that we read that in verse 1:1, right? Even though he is God, he and his Father are one, and it's repeatedly told that way. And Jesus always, always says that he does these things with his Father. There's no parables really found in Matthew, Mark, no parables in John, like you find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the purpose of the Gospel of John is an explicit statement that he makes in John chapter 20, 30 through 31. We find some key verses. We'll look at that. We'll look at John 20, 30, 31 in a moment. We see some key verses being John 1:1, 1:14. Do you know those verses? Actually, let's look at that. Turn over to John, the Gospel of John 1:1, if you don't mind, and we'll take a look at that. This is Bible study, so. So John 1:1. This is a very important scripture. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we find out that Jesus is the Word, that he is God, and he was with God. So the book goes on to kind of give you this father-son ordeal, telling us that Jesus is God, and he was there. And as you further read through the book, which at the end of our lesson we'll kind of look at John chapter 1 in a little more in-depth, because in there we see all the different names that Jesus goes by. But anyway, verse 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh, the key word of that. The Word, Jesus, became flesh. Let's look at, this is a very popular verse, John 3:16. You see it advertised many places, sporting events, things like that. It's a key verse, though. 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 8:32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. There is so much today that are lies. And knowing God, knowing Jesus, there's the truth. So the answers to many questions today can be found in the gospel, but why it's not used, don't know. And then our key verse was John chapter 20. John writes basically around this. Look at verse 30, 31. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Now in my Bible, if you go to the very last verse in chapter 21, which would be chapter 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." That's an interesting statement. We see and we read in the gospel about all these things that Jesus did, right? All the miracles and the signs and the things that he said, the teachings. But if it was written in all that he did, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's an interesting statement. He also writes, remember I said he also writes 1 John. I have a couple of statements in 1 John, so let's look at 1 John real quick here. 1 John, you have to remind me to flip that. Sorry about that. 1 John 1:1-4. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, Jesus Christ. The life was manifested, and we have seen, bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." That's an interesting statement. If we're in Christ, we should have joy. Our life should be joy. And I trust that it is. We see all the unjoyful things around us, but we know the joy that is within us, that we have a home with heaven, that Christ is our Savior, that he covers our sins. And it's interesting to note how John will write about building us up, building our faith, that we might believe even stronger. Verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." From all sin. Not some sin. Not that sin. All sin. Look at 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And then verse 13. These things that I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. John's writing to us to know, that you may know, that you know for sure you have eternal life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I go about and I'm like, wow, heaven is mine. Can you believe it? To know that you have eternal life, to know that no matter what, if you believe in Jesus Christ and have done what he has asked and obeyed what his commands are, you have eternal life, you're guaranteed it, and John goes on to reaffirm it to you. Let's see, a few verses. John's theme statement. Go back to John chapter 20, because this is his theme statement to us. John is an interesting character, I believe, totally committed to the Lord. Like I said, he was beloved. He is he and James, Jesus called as sons of thunder. Why would you suppose that they would be known as sons of thunder? I kind of looked up that word thunder just to see what it meant, and it means roar. That's one of the words I got out of that, roar. But sons of thunder, basically Jesus is telling us that James and John, they're zealous. They're really zealous. They're forthright. They're really in it for Jesus. And I think that's a great attribute that Jesus would give John. Anyway, John chapter 20, verse 30-31. And well, we already read that. So Jesus did many other signs of presence of his disciples, which were written in this book, that these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now this statement provides what I consider convincing evidence that the readers will conclude that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confronts us with the deity of Christ. Three key words there, I think, in John's purpose are clear here. Number one, signs lead to belief, which leads to life. Signs lead to belief, which lead to life. And then here I take and kind of break that down a little bit for you. Signs, they incorporate the revelation of God through the teachings and the miracles of Jesus. Belief, the reaction that the signs were designed to produce. Life, the result that the signs were designed to produce. Well, let me ask you a question. Here we have signs, belief, life, right? If there were no signs, would your belief be stronger, less? Would you have belief? Because Jesus proved to us, right, through the miracles and signs that he did, all the workings that he did, which could not even be contained in all in this book, and we further read that it could not really be contained in the entire world if we wrote down every work and sign that Jesus had done, right? So if you took that signs out of the picture there, does that strengthen your belief that Jesus is the Son of God? He is God. It wouldn't. Because you have to have the signs in order for us to believe. Many people are skeptical, even today. Everything you read is skepticism. We're all skeptical. It's very difficult to find the truth. If there's no signs, it'd be really, really, really hard to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He'd just be out verbally talking, but not unable to do miracles, to do different things, to do different teachings. Would we believe? It'd be harder, wouldn't it? It'd be much harder. You would really be expecting us to really have a solid faith, would you not? If there were no signs attached to Jesus Christ. Make it very difficult. In the bottom there, it says, particular signs, miracles were chosen, showing his power over things man cannot change. Such as quality, space, time, quantity, natural law, misfortunes, death. Death. Four times, Jesus conquered death. Four times. Last time being his own death. And a miracle in itself, really. To be raised on the third day, it's a miracle in itself. Oh, let's see. Let's go to the next one. So those signs, miracles, we see in the book of John. And the first miracle would be water turned into wine. We're all familiar with that, the wedding feast, right? Now, I must say here that when we think of wine, we think of wine, fermented wine. It's not necessarily meaning fermented wine here. It's meaning probably very good quality of juice, grape juice. Because I can't see Jesus making an intoxicating drink, basically. Because drinking is not something that we would associate with Jesus or God. Second miracle, we see the healing of the nobleman's son. That's an interesting thing. We find that in John 4, 46 through 54. Third one, we find the healing of the lame man at the pool. Remember the pool, the Bethesda pool, where they'd all be laying around there? You know how long that lame man had been laying there? 38 years. Waiting. It was said that an angel will come down and drop in the pool, stir up the pool, first one to go in the water would be healed. Jesus walks up, and you can read the story. Heals the man. Get up. Stand up. Walk out of here. Did he go in the pool? No. It's a very interesting story. If you have time, you should check that story out. Because that created some problems. Fourth miracle, feeding of the 5,000. The loaves and the fishes, feeding of the 5,000. Find that in John chapter 6. Also in John chapter 6, we find Jesus walking on water. It reminds me of Simon Peter when Jesus came back from his ascension. You read it in the last chapter of John. Here's Jesus standing on the shore, and Peter and John are in the boat. Peter sees John on the shore, really can't make him out. This is after the ascension. So what's Peter do? He takes off his clothes, dives in the water, goes after Jesus. This is just another water story. I find it amazing because John's like, that's Jesus. And they go by boat to see Jesus. It's an interesting story. That's the eighth one. The sixth one is healing of the man born blind. And we find that in John chapter 9, 1 through 4. The seventh miracle we see where Lazarus is raised. Now here's another situation. You all know the story of Lazarus. Jesus goes and restores him, brings him back to life. Interesting. So Jesus as long with his Father have the power to restore us from death. And that's an interesting concept in itself, is not? If you're a Christian and you die, are you not restored back to life? That's the point that John's trying to make. If you believe in Jesus and you die in Christ, what happens at judgment? You're raised to eternal life, right? He's promising us eternal life. Is that not conquering death for us? For him? For his people? His followers? His believers? And the eighth one is the second great quantity of fish. that's an interesting story. Actually, let's look at that. Because I read over that so many times, I never really paid attention to it. But it's an interesting story. I'm going to go to John chapter 21, 1 through 6. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. In this way, he showed himself. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. The two others of his disciples were together. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. I love that, I am going fishing. I don't know if you're a fisherman or if you like going fishing. I love going fishing. But I find that interesting to say, I'm going fishing. It's like, I'm just going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. I hate that. You go fishing and don't catch anything. Verse 4, but when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you have any food? They answered him, no, they hadn't caught anything. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Oops, should have. Real thing. No, we're in the right page. Okay. So they cast, and now they were able to draw it into the, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, Is it the Lord? Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw fire coals there. It's already a fire coal on the shore. And fish laying on it and bread. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some fish, which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said, come, let's eat breakfast. What an interesting miracle. I always seem to pass over that one. Also, let's see. We also, in the book of John, we see that this is the only book that shows the I ams. And there's, I wrote down 13 different I ams. Let's see where we're on time. The I ams, that's the overwhelming evidence to prove the deity of Christ. This is Christ saying, I am, I am, I am, I am. And if you look at the first one, he says, I am the Messiah. And he has that conversation in John 4, and that story is kind of where the Samaritan woman is, where he comes across the Samaritan woman at the well. And number two, I am the bread of life. John 6:30. Here is feeding the multitudes. And three, I am the light of the world. John 8. We find that in the story kind of where the stoning of the woman was, the adulterous woman. Ye who have no sin, you cast the first stone. And you can see Jesus drawing in the sand. It's kind of like a line in the sand there. No, if you have no sin, you cast the first stone on this woman. What happened? Jesus looked around, gave it a few minutes, looked around. All the accusers had left. Because they had sinned, and they were not worthy to cast the first stone. That's an interesting story. Number four, I'm from above, Jesus says. Just like from his Father, I'm from above. Number five, I am. That's what he says. I am. John 8:56. Let's look at that. because he says, I am, period, nothing else, I am. 856. 56 through 59. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Wait a minute. Abraham? 55. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then a Jew said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Remember, Abraham goes all the way back to Genesis, right? The beginning. And they don't understand this. Jesus said to him in verse 58, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Verse 59, then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out to the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus is I am, was in the beginning, just like we'll read in John chapter 1 at the very beginning, verse 3, 4 verses of John chapter 1. Jesus was the I am. He was there in the beginning. The foundations of the world were made through him. John writes to prove these things. How about we go on? So let's see. Number 6, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. You find in John chapter 10. The sheep know me. I am the good shepherd. The sheep know me. And number 6 was, I am the door, when he's talking about the sheep. So there's two different things there. I am the door, I am the good shepherd. The sheep know me as the good shepherd. Who are the sheep, you might ask? That would be us, right? The followers of Christ, those who have put on Christ, we would be his sheep. Number 8, I am the Son of God. I and my Father are one. Let's take a look at that. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. We are one. Number 9, I am the resurrection and the life. Here we see the story of Lazarus, right? That shortest verse in the Bible we also found here too, right? You know what that shortest verse in the Bible is? Remember, I teach the teens and the preteens, so things like this, that's interesting to them, you know. Jesus wept. Short. You can remember that verse. So we find that there. But he is the resurrection and the life. Number 10, I am the teacher and Lord. We see him washing feet. I am the teacher and Lord. Number 11, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There he goes to prepare many mansions for us, right? That's what he says. In heaven, he's preparing many mansions for his people, for his believers, for his followers, those that are faithful to him till death. That's why I love that verse in Revelations 2:10 that we always use at the end of the invitation. Crown, a mansion. Number 12, I am the true vine. Talks about bearing fruit. And then number 13, I am a king. I am a king. Here's where he's faced with Pilate. Pilate says, well, are you a king? You say, I am a king. I have my own kingdom, not of this world. But I am a king. All right, about 5 minutes or so. In closing here, there seems to be one message I think conveyed by all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that is that God loves you, that he sent his only Son to redeem you, and to give you life to the fullest. Life to the fullest, an abundant life. And if you're a Christian, you should have an abundant life. We should not be struggling with things. We have the truth. We have the life. We live it more abundantly. We're supposed to be full of joy. Those are the things that are conveyed in being a Christian. John wrote to us all the universal gospel that emphasizes Christ's deity and his descendants from God himself. Now let's go over to John chapter 1. We have a few minutes. We can... wasn't sure how we would time out here, but go over to John chapter 1. The names used to introduce Jesus in John chapter 1, and this is kind of interesting because, you know, we talk about Jesus, Christ, Messiah, Lord, but there's a whole host of things when he just went through the whole I ams, right? I'm the bread of life, the resurrection, the life, the truth, the way. Let's look at John chapter 1. This is just John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, we pretty much get the full picture. John chapter 1, and I'll just go by verse here. And we're just looking at what names Jesus are being used here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we see that in John chapter 1, we have the Word and God. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Right? So here we find that he's the maker, the creator. He's calling himself the creator, the maker. All things were made through him. Without him nothing was made. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So here, call it the life. Number 4, also the light of men we see there in the last couple words of that verse. And the life was the light of men. Verse 5, 7, and 8. So 5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 7, this man came for a witness to bear witness to the light that all through him might believe. And verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. So here we see that he's also the light, the true light. Verse 1:9. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So there he's called the light. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father. That's the key there. The only begotten of the Father. How about verse 15? 15, 27, and 30. 15 says, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. This is John the Baptist. Let's see, 27 and 30. Let's follow that up with 27. It is he coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. John the Baptist came prior to Jesus, the forerunner of Jesus. How about verse 17? Here we see him being called Jesus Christ. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So here we see where he's being called Jesus Christ. Verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So we see here in verse 18, he is the only begotten God. Verse 20. Here he called me, he's the Christ. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Therefore, gives you the idea that he is, Jesus is the Christ. John the Baptist is not the Christ, but Jesus is. 21, let's look at 21 and 25. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Verse 25, and they asked him, saying, why then did you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? So here is where we find that he's called a prophet. So he's a prophet, a king. Look at 23. He said, I am. And here's a scripture going back to Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. There is the Lord. Let's look at verse 29. And the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So here we see that Jesus is called the Lamb of God. 41, Messiah. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. There you see the Son of God and King of Israel. 51, look at verse 51, the last verse. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Here he's called the Son of Man. I think John writes an interesting book. We could study, I think, the book of John for an awfully long time, maybe quarters of class, because there's so much. And I can only put this in basically 40 minutes worth time span. But John gives us the gospel that's written for all of us, for Christians, those seeking to become Christians. Therefore, I kind of like John as one of my favorite characters. Thank you for your time.